This is Central Time. I'm Veronica Rickards.
And I'm Rob Ferret. Our next guest wants us to embrace our mortality and everything that goes with it. Her mission is to teach us to accept death as a natural part of life and the extinction of our bodies and personalities as a part of the process, and it doesn't need to terrorize us.
Caitlin Doty is a licensed mortician and funeral director and the founder of the Order of the Good Death. She writes, produces, and stars in the popular web series called Ask a Mortician. Caitlin, welcome to Central Time.
Thank you so much for having me.
Well, you write that your work is about teaching people to make death a part of their life. What do you mean by that?
Well, I mean that I happen to believe, as other people do, that death is kind of the most fundamental relationship that you'll ever have in your life. Whether or not we're directly engaging with it, it really is a force that affects our personality, affects our subconscious mind, and the more that we can bring it out into the open and figure out what our relationship is with death at any given time, the more self-aware a person we are.
Now, is it a personal thing? Everyone's relationship to death is different?
Yeah, absolutely. Just like everyone's relationship to their husband or wife or children is their own specific relationship. So you can't have a blanket thing that's going to work for everyone. But the more things that you, the more conversations you have, the more that people can figure out what their own unique relationship is with death. And it will change over time. My relationship with death is different every day.
What is it like today?
Today, well, I'm in Los Angeles, and it's very sunny, and I got some work done this morning, so I'm feeling like I have my life together. So my relationship with death is very positive today.
Well, I know you've studied the history of death. You've cremated bodies. You've driven the van that has the bodies. You've done a lot and been really hands-on in this. You're a licensed mortician, and I wonder, you know, you're very comfortable with death, it sounds like. Most of America, I think, is probably not, and you say this as well. Did we used to be more comfortable with the idea of death than we are now?
We used to be a lot more comfortable, and the reason for that is that we used to have a lot more dead bodies around us. We used to have a lot more death and dying. So we had the dying process actually took place in the whole home, which now it's largely in either hospitals or in nursing homes. And then after the person died, they would be kept in the home for several days, being taken care of by the family. And keep in mind that in the 1700s, 1800s, 1900s, even early 1900s, people were dying at a much higher rate than we are now. There can be people now who are 40, 50 years old who have never even been to a funeral or seen a dead body. So we used to have a much more intimate relationship with death just because it was happening much more frequently and it was much closer to us.
When the body was sitting in the home and people were caring for it, the family, the loved ones, was that still kind of a ghoulish thing? Did people see it that way, or was it something different that we don't maybe have a category for now?
Yeah, I would say that's correct. It's this place in between life and death. I mean, there were still absolutely superstitions, you know, covering the mirrors and things like that to keep the line between the living and the dead secure. And they would actually, the name wake, which we now know is visiting the body after the death has occurred, actually comes from the fear that the body would wake up.
Wow.
So, and that it wasn't quite dead, and you had to make sure that the body is dead. So in the way we've medicalized death, we've brought it into the medical field much more. And in that way, that actually makes us cleaner with death, and we know that a dead body is a dead body. But we don't have that really physical, tangible, normal relationship with just having the dead body around that we used to. So there are pros and cons to the new system.
Now, is that the main reason you say that we got so distanced from the death process in America?
I think so. I mean, I think there's a couple of reasons. I think the professionalization, either in the medical field or in the funeral field, in the funeral directors and mortuaries, that sort of took death out of the home and said, oh, there are professionals. Dead bodies can be dangerous. Professionals should be the ones to handle this, which is not actually really true. Normal, every you or I, anybody can really take care of a dead body. It's not a skill that requires a great deal of, and funeral directors disagree with me on this, but the facts are that you don't really need a funeral director to take care of a dead body.
I want to talk a little bit about the American funeral, because right now it seems to be, you know, makeup, embalming, an open casket funeral where people can come and see, you know, someone, a body that looks an awful lot like the person that they loved, maybe not quite. What do you make of that kind of American funeral?
Well, I think that there's something a little uncanny valley about the embalmed body, because you're right, it looks like the person, but it doesn't look quite like them, and the embalming can kind of make them look a little waxen, and the makeup is a little strange, and the suit is a little strange, because you know that they're dead, and you know that they're beginning to decompose, and there's just sort of a strangeness to it, which is why I think it's kind of better to see corpses as they really are. Corpses, a dead corpse as a dead corpse, and that's the reality of the situation, and that can be kind of harsh for people who aren't used to it. But people all around the world, and Americans before the last 75 years, were very used to seeing dead bodies as they actually were.
How did you get so comfortable with this? I mean, this isn't something that most of us like to think about, let alone, you know, engage in every day.
Right. Well, I was interested in death academia for a long time. I studied medieval history and medieval death rituals in college. And then when I got out of college, I wanted to see if I could actually work with real dead bodies and see if there was some place between theory and the real work of death. And what's really made me so comfortable is combining those things, working with dead bodies for so long and just being able to, you know, none of them have ever reached up and grabbed my hand. None of them have ever struck terror into my heart. None of them have ever, they're very beautiful shells where the, you know, soul or whatever it is that you believe animates a person is clearly left the building. And it is what, that's why we call them the body of the remains. It is what remains. And it's a really beautiful thing. And it's, I wouldn't say I enjoy being around dead bodies, but I do in a way, because they bring me comfort and they remind me of where I will be, which causes me to reflect on my own life.
Wow, I'm really struck by what you said, beautiful shells. I would never think of calling, you know, even a loved one's body beautiful, because it's, you know, I guess I'd like to see the beauty in it. How do you think we can get there?
I think by, and this is something that I say, that when you go to a typical American funeral, especially where in the Midwest, where it's kind of the traditions are still the strongest, where you have the body and it's embalmed and it's made up and you only go in for about an hour or so, or you just file past the casket once and get a glimpse in, and it's grandfather or mother, and it's a little strange, and you leave going, I don't know if I want that for myself, that was a little weird, is a very different experience than actually being with a body for a couple of days, or being with a body after it dies, the way that we used to have bodies in the home. So the longer that you are actually with a body, the more that you can start to think about bigger issues, the more that you can think about what your relationship with the person who died was, the more that you can allow yourself to see the beauty in the situation and the beauty in the fact that we will all eventually die.
Is there a best way to have a wake or a funeral, a way that you, based on your experience, consider the most natural?
Well, there's no best way, because again, you know, me saying this is what I believe is totally different than, you know, in Papua New Guinea, they think that we should take them out every couple of years and mummify them and redress them. You know, so there's so many different ways to see a corpse, I guess. But for me, what I found is that keeping the body, if possible, and I know that if the body died in an accident or there was some messy longer illness, it's difficult to keep a body in the home after the person died. But if the person was on hospice, for instance, and if you've been caring for them in the home, there's no reason that you can't keep them in the home for about 48 hours after they've passed away, and just give yourself a chance to sit with the body and to realize that they're gone and to realize that things are fundamentally different. Things have shifted. A person who was part of your life is no longer a part of your life, and give yourself a chance to really sit with that.
Well, so then how do you feel about cremation? It seems like that's something that's trending now, and the idea is that it's, I guess, people seem to feel like it's cleaner, and if they don't like the formaldehyde and the open casket thing, this seems like an option that people are embracing. What do you think about cremation?
Well, since I live in California, we really are, especially Southern California, really is a cremation culture. Our cremation rates are very high here. It's approaching 50% countrywide. They say that in the next 10 years, it will be 50% across the country. And I've worked a lot in cremation. And I think that cremation can be good. I think, again, that, you know, cremating or burning a body is just as valid as burying a body, as long as, again, there's that interaction with the reality of death. So somewhere I see a problem is in something called direct cremation. And what direct cremation is just the funeral home picks up the body, takes it away, the family doesn't see it, the body is cremated, and the ashes are returned. And so you hear someone's dying, and then the next thing you see is their box of ashes, box of cremated remains. And I think that there is an issue in that because it doesn't really engage with the reality of death either. So I think, you know, burial or even embalming or cremation is fine. Whatever you want to do is fine as long as you're also giving yourself that real tangible interaction with the death.
Let's take one of our callers. We have Annie on the line from New Berlin. Hello, Annie.
Hi. Thank you for taking my call.
Sure.
I just wanted to say that we did a very hands-on thing. I went through hospice detox, who are excellent, and I knew the Amish did not go through a funeral home, so I knew there was a way to do it. So you have to, I must stress, you must do the paperwork ahead. But basically, my husband had pancreatic cancer. We didn't act together, so we were 24/7 for years, and I was losing not only my partner but my life. And it really helped me not only to be his caregiver and all of that, but at the end, I did have two male friends that put him in the body bag for me. But he laid in state here at home after he died. I was with him when he died. And then we had built the coffin ahead, and it was very personal. You know, I put parts of the horse, I cut off pieces of the horse's tail and everything. And we had six people come over and help me carry the body, and we put it in the, but we laid them in state for, you have to have them for 48 hours before you cremate them. And we, then we took the coffin, and I have a big pickup, so we put it in the back of that, and I was afraid it would rain. So as I drove down to the barn, I had made everybody that came over a drink. We all kind of went down to the barn and were with the horses and everything, and we kind of had a wake there. In another way, you know, and then we all took a Sharpie and signed that he used to autograph with, and we signed the coffin. And I dealt directly with the cremation service, so I drove the body there. You know, actually, you have to wait 48 hours, and he passed after the closing hours, so we had to wait till the next morning after the time was up. But it was incredibly personal, and I just want to say how wonderful it was, and it was his wishes instead of, I just didn't want, my mother, when they came to take her away because she died in the home, it was so impersonal, and this was so much, it's still terrible and hard, but it's much more closure, I feel.
All right. Well, thank you so much for that call, Annie, and Annie taking a very personal route. What do you think about what Annie did, Caitlin?
Well, I think it's wonderful. I think she's kind of the poster child for what I would like to advocate for, and I'd love to talk to her more. I think she made two really good points. One is that to do this kind of thing, because it's not, it's new, it's old, but it's new as far as the modern bureaucracy and how we usually do things now, you do really have to plan ahead. You do really have to be sure exactly what you want, because it's easy to fall when somebody actually dies and it's terrible and it's sad. It's easy to fall into, oh, shoot, I better just, you know, go the traditional route and not do what we had planned and not do what we had talked about. So definitely make sure that you have the paperwork and you have everything that you want to do in mind before. And the other good point is that I've really yet to hear anybody who does this kind of thing and really does it themselves say, oh, it was a terrible experience. It was grotesque being with the body. Dead bodies are scary. I would never do it again. I've actually never heard anybody say that about what she's talking about. So I think that was a beautiful story, and I'm glad that she was able to do it.
All right. Well, thank you so much for that call, Annie. We're talking right now with Caitlin Doty. She's a licensed mortician and funeral director and the founder of the Order of the Good Death. She writes, produces, and stars in the popular web series called Ask a Mortician.
And the door's open for your questions. If you want to know what happens to the body at death, what your options are, or if you want to share your story as Annie did, you can call in at 800-642-1234. That's 800-642-1234, or send an email, talk@WPR.org.
You're listening to Central Time on Wisconsin Public Radio. This is Central Time. I'm Veronica Rickert.
And I'm Rob Verrett.
We're talking about death and how we think about it in America and why we tend to be in denial about death. Our guest says we need to embrace it as a natural part of life. Caitlin Doty is a licensed mortician, and she writes, produces, and stars in the web series Ask a Mortician.
You can join the show with your questions and your experiences at 800-642-1234 or send an email, talk@WPR.org.
And Caitlin, you've done a lot of research into all the different aspects of burial. What are some that we don't know about here in America?
Well, probably one that you don't know about is something called green or natural burial, although you might. It's really gaining in popularity, although there tend to be a lot of, I guess, trend pieces about it, which make it seem like it's kind of a fad as opposed to the way that humans have been buried for thousands of years. So what it is burying a body just straight in the ground in a shroud or in a decomposable casket, just straight in the actual earth, as opposed to what most cemeteries require, which is a heavy-duty casket and a concrete vault around it underground, which really kind of keeps us from decomposing and going back into nature as we might naturally do.
Can you do that in, a regular cemetery, or can you do it anywhere in your backyard?
Well, it depends on where you live. Backyard burial is a little tricky, definitely not if you live in a larger city. It's much more difficult. But if you live in a rural area, it's really going to be up to sort of the local county or municipality as to the rules for that. Having more acreage definitely helps. But you have to remember that especially in our modern world, people move a lot. It's hard to sell a house that has your father buried on the land. Mm-hmm. So definitely it's possible to do that. Cemeteries, the big vaults and everything that are in traditional cemeteries, are people think that it's state law. It's not state law. It's a thing that cemeteries do because they don't like the way that the ground shifts, because they have to mow it, and it saves them money to be able to have big vaults underground. They also make money from selling the big vaults underground. So if people don't demand natural burial and they don't ask for it, there's not a lot of incentive for cemeteries to move forward with creating either natural burial sections or dedicated natural burial cemeteries. There are definitely some, I Googled this, and if you Google natural burial or green burial Wisconsin, you will find some things and places that are expanding in that way.
Huh, interesting. Okay, let's go to the calls now. We've got Joe on the line from Waterloo, Iowa. Hi, Joe.
Hi. My stepmother is an old German farm girl from central Iowa. She has a great story. Maybe 30 years ago, one of her cousins died, big extended family. The family was going past the casket and in the viewing, and one of her aunts picked up the guy's hand and shook it and said, "Goodbye, old pal," and put it down and walked on. Hmm. And the family actually thought it was more just a faux pas. And it's just they all loved her. She was great. And it wasn't a big deal. But to touch the body was not a problem in that culture.
Interesting. Caitlin?
Yeah, well, my family is actually from Iowa as well, so my hat's off to her. I think there's kind of been a narrative in the past 75 to 100 years, which is that dead bodies are dangerous somehow, that you don't touch them, that you're going to catch diseases or deadness from them, and that's really just not true. There's nothing that a dead body could give you that a living body couldn't give you. And in fact, you're much less likely to catch something from a dead body than you are a living body, because most viruses die very quick, or any bacteria die very quickly in the body. And the bacteria that does cause decomposition and the things that we think of as a little gross are not things that make you sick. Bacteria doesn't make you sick in that way, unless you're consuming the dead body, which you are most likely not.
All right. Well, thank you for that story. Appreciate that. And we'll move next to Jim in Fairchild. Hi, Jim.
Hi there.
Hi.
Hi. Thanks for taking my call.
Sure.
You actually answered part of my question, but I guess both of my parents are buried above ground in a vault, and as a former science teacher and a person with a degree in biology, I find that kind of peculiar and unnatural and wasteful that these people aren't, all these bodies aren't being recycled, as it were. And I just was wondering, these people that are involved, do they eventually decompose?
Yeah, they do. They do eventually decompose, but it's a little strange, because the embalming chemicals that go through the circulatory system, what they do is they fix the proteins, and that's what slows down the decomposition for embalming. And so the body will eventually decompose, but the skin tends to be a little firmer and last a little longer, so it kind of, the body will become a little soupy on the inside, not to be too graphic for your listeners, and then it has kind of a mummified look a little bit, especially if the embalming wasn't done incredibly well for long-term preservation. But I agree. I think that the body, you know, many of us consume animals throughout our lives. And I think it's kind of poetic to, when we die, just go back into the ground so they can then eat us. And the cycle continues on.
All right. Well, thank you so much for the call, Jim. And Caitlin, I know something that you advocate for is that we need to teach kids in school about death. We should be teaching them about sex education and death education. What would that be like? Would that sort of, you know, get around the freak out factor that seems to set in for a lot of us by the time we hit adulthood?
Yeah, I think so. And I think there's a good saying that says talking about sex won't make you pregnant and talking about dying won't make you dead. So, you know, sex and death are these two huge cultural forces and physical forces that we deal with every day. And, you know, you don't have to teach either of them as doctrine. You know, you're not saying, you know, go out and have sex. You're not saying go out and be, you know, a complete macabre weirdo. What you're just saying is, hey, these are very natural things that exist. Here are the facts about them. How you choose to engage with them is how you choose to engage them with them, 16-year-old. But I think starting that early is a way to create really well-rounded, well-informed people who can use those tools to apply to other things as well.
We've only got about 30, 40 seconds left, but I want to ask you, there's a line from Six Feet Under. I'm sure you know about the show. It takes place in a funeral home, and one character asks, why do people have to die? And the other one says, to make life important or something like that. And how would you answer that question? Why do people have to die?
I'd say same. It's if we lived forever, there would be no motivation to achieve or to get married or to have children or to write books. All the things that we do are motivated by the knowledge that our life is finite.
And is that a good thing, a good knowledge that you have?
Yeah, it's a great knowledge. Yeah, absolutely.
All right, Caitlin, thank you so much for being with us today.
Thank you for having me.
That was Caitlin Doty, a licensed mortician, funeral director, founder of the Order of the Good Death. And she writes, produces, and stars in the web series called Ask a Mortician.